Good afternoon and welcome to the Eco News Report. I'm your host this week, Scott Greeson, North Coast Director of Friends of the Eel River. The Eco News Report is an exclusive feature of KHSU brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, the Eco News. And don't forget, you can find this show and other KHSU public affairs shows on the audio archives page at khsu.org. As everyone knows, the history of the American experience in California almost begins with gold and gold mining. It's not a new story, but it's a new story in some ways. Today's issue of Eco News, we're going to be talking with Craig Tucker, the Klamath coordinator of the Karuk tribe, about suction dredge mining, an intensely controversial practice which involves pulling particles of gold from the beds of rivers, including many rivers in northwestern California. Craig has been a leader in the campaign to remove dams from the Klamath River and restore the river as one of the major producers of salmon on the West Coast. He's been one of the lead negotiators in the proposed deal to accomplish that dam removal. And he's also been one of the leaders in the effort to rein in the impacts of suction dredge mining. Thanks for joining us, Craig. Really appreciate you being here.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate you having me.
So today, the day we're recording, is Tuesday. Can you tell us what's happening there in Sacramento today and why you're there in the Capitol?
Well, today was the final public meeting for comments on California Fish and Game's draft regulations which govern dredge mining and their draft environmental impact report describing the various environmental impacts associated with dredge mining. So I came down to lodge our complaints and our comments to the department, with, along with about, that was probably about 50 miners in the audience today.
So what was the tone of the hearing today?
Well, this is one of those issues where there's not a lot of middle ground. People either want to mine without any government oversight, or, on the other hand, we want to abolish mining. There's not a lot of middle ground. And so this is one of those issues where both sides are frustrated and there's a lot of emotion and passion wrapped up in it. And so these are pretty tense public meetings.
So why is suction dredge mining for gold an issue for the Karuk tribe? Maybe you could give us just a brief introduction to some of the major steps the tribe has taken on this journey.
Yeah, well, when non-native people first showed up in the Klamath Basin, they were largely miners. And I think Karuk would say that, in the first 10 years of mining in the 1850s, the population of Karuks plummeted. And a lot of that was death caused by disease, as well as famine and violence. And so really, from the perspective of the Karuk, and I would say for the majority of Indian tribes in California, probably, that mining really did bankroll genocide all over the state. So there's that history, a very ugly history. And it was about, it was the 1990s. People have always gold mined the Klamath since the 1850s with pans, with picks and shovels. And then someone invented dredges, which, dredges is basically a mechanized vacuum pump that floats on a pontoon in the river. And the miner takes what is a vacuum hose, and the miner actually swims in the water and vacuums up the bottom of the river. And this vacuumed up material is then run through a sluice box. And the thinking is that the gold is recovered in the sluice box, and then all the other debris is simply dumped back into the river. And so, I don't think you have to be a fisheries biologist to appreciate that vacuuming up the bottom of our rivers and rearranging all the gravels is not very good for fish habitat. Fish eggs, the amacete, which is sort of a larval stage of Pacific lamprey buried down in those gravels. A lot of the bugs that fish eat are trying to make their way down there in those gravels. And the other piece of it is there's a lot of mercury buried down in those gravels that are left over from the first gold rush. And mercury is dangerous when it becomes methylated. And so what studies are showing now is that when you dredge and you suck up those gravels and you suck up the mercury that's in those gravels, it gets sort of sprayed or misted back into the water column. And that elemental mercury can then be methylated by the microorganisms that live in the river. And it's that methyl mercury that's really dangerous. So not only is dredging creating this harmful effect on our fishery, it's also creating a harmful effect on other people downstream who may be swimming or fishing or drinking from that water body.
So, Craig, your background includes a doctorate in biochemistry, which I guess is a little more than your average environmental advocate brings to the issue. But how serious is the problem of mercury accumulation in terms of its impacts on human health and also on the environment, on the food chain?
Well, you know, it's a big deal throughout California, and this mercury is slowly accumulating in reservoirs and wetlands and estuaries throughout the state. And a lot of our rivers and water bodies in this state are what we call 303D listed as impaired for mercury. And what this means is, under the Clean Water Act, these water bodies have been identified as contaminated for mercury, and there's specific actions that have to be taken to either clean up these sites or not expose people to the mercury. And so, you know, we have warnings that there's places where you can't eat the fish because the mercury is accumulating in fish. The thing that's really shocking about what Fish and Game is doing with these dredging rules is they've drafted an environmental impact report that lays out this case that, indeed, mining is a unavoidable impact to water quality because of this mercury issue I've described. But then the department says, but hey, we're not the water department. We're the fish and game guys, so it's not our responsibility to protect you from mercury in the water. And they're kind of passing the buck, if you will, to another agency, the State Water Board. Well, it's not legal for fish and game to pass the buck like this, and this is something we're bringing up in our comments, but I can foresee that this may be another issue that would have to be litigated in the future if, at the end of the day, we go through this rulemaking procedure and we allow people to dredge in these mercury-impaired waters and put our children and our family at risk if we swim in the river.
You're listening to the Eco News Report. I'm Scott Greeson, and I'm talking today with Craig Tucker, Klamath Coordinator for the Karuk Tribe. Craig is in Sacramento, where he has been attending a hearing on the Department of Fish and Game's proposed new rules, which would allow suction dredge mining to return to California rivers. Craig, how did the mercury get into these rivers in the first place?
Well, it was used back in the day when gold mining first started to help isolate, you know, gold from the other rocks. So it's used chemically in the gold recovery process. And, you know, when the miners were finished, you know, they left all this mercury behind. And if you ever heard the phrase mad as a hatter, well, it comes from the fact that in Victorian England, hatters, that methyl mercury was used in the hat making and cleaning process, dealing with the felt that the hats were made from. It did drive people who were hatters mad. And so it's a very toxic chemical, and it's one of those things where it's very difficult to recover it, but if it's buried in the sediment, that's a safer place for it than if we reintroduce it to the water column, where, you know, microorganisms living in the water column can convert it to methyl mercury, and that's the toxic form. So that's why we're concerned about dredging, not only for fish, but for human health.
So, Craig, you've been one of the leaders, as I said in the introduction, of this effort to rein in suction dredge mining, which you explained kind of exploded in northwestern California and indeed across the motherlode country of the Sierras from the late 90s onward. Maybe you could give us just a brief sketch of the major steps on that journey in terms of how the tribe has tried to address this issue and tried to get the state government to address the issue.
Well, I think it was the 90s where, you know, the price of gold started going up and more people were motivated to try to go out and dredge for gold and get rich, you know, get rich quick scheme, gold mining. And people have been dredging for years on the California salmon, the Klamath rivers, and there just wasn't very many of those guys out there. And even though, you know, each individual dredge has some impact on fish, this issue with mercury, there were so few of them that I think people didn't bother to complain very much. Well, when the price of gold started going up, a few people got the clever idea to buy up a bunch of mining claims, as many as they could, and they'd start these mining clubs. And an example is the New 49ers, based out of Happy Camp. And so you can join the New 49ers for a nominal fee, and they'll have a weekend workshop and teach you how to dredge. You can rent a dredge from these guys and have access to the claims that the club owns. And so at that point, we saw a proliferation of dredging in the Klamath Basin to the point we thought, you know, all these guys are starting to have a significant impact. We're seeing, you know, spring run Chinook and Pacific lamprey and other species are really on this, really spiraling towards extinction. And we can't really afford to have these guys out, you know, destroying the habitat with these dredges. So in 2005, the tribe sued Fish and Game and said, look, your regulations are not protective of fish. And Fish and Game said, you know, you're right, they're not. And when Coho was listed, we should have been obligated. When Coho became ESA listed, the department should have been obligated to review their mining rules. So we actually negotiated a settlement with Fish and Game that was just for the Klamath that would have limited dredging. The new 49ers and the Pacific Legal Foundation intervened and said, you can't do that. You can't come up with new rules without going through a CEQA process. And so the court agreed with that argument and said, go forth and do CEQA, make up new rules statewide. Well, Fish and Game never had the money to do the rulemaking. I would come down here and encourage lawmakers to fund it. Pacific Legal Foundation would come down here and encourage lawmakers not to fund it. It didn't get funded. So finally, 2 years ago, Senator Wiggins, our very own state senator at the time, Patricia Wiggins, sponsored legislation, SB 670, which said no more dredging until new rules, a complete ban on dredging until new rules. Well, the department immediately had the money to do a CEQA analysis, of course, and that CEQA analysis is what we're in now. So that means a public process, and they proposed new regulations. They did an environmental impact report on what those new regulations would mean, and in that draft regs, draft report is what was the topic of the meeting I attended today. Today is the last day to comment. However, there will be a final impact report probably out in 6 or 8 months, and there will be another opportunity for the public to comment at that point. So we had to legislate the ban to force the rulemaking. But, you know, in some ways, the miners got more than they bargained for, because by blocking our original settlement back in 2005, they have forced this statewide process, and, you know, miners are sort of reaping what they sowed in terms of fighting our efforts to protect just the Klamath Basin.
So now they brought in the Sierra Country as well, basically.
Yeah, well, you know, they mine down in Southern California in the Kern watershed. And what it's meant for us, and we've said, okay, if we're going to protect Karuk ancestral territory in the Middle Klamath, we've had to work within a statewide coalition on this issue. And so we're working with groups from one end of the state to the other. We're working with tribes. We're working with environmental groups. And so it's become this statewide coalition, and what we're finding is, you know, we knew it was a problem in the Klamath, but it's a huge problem in the Sierras, it's a huge problem in the coast of Southern California. So it's the only issue I've ever worked on where it's so easy to get groups from around the state to immediately jump on board and say, yeah, we want to help you with this issue because we have that same problem. And, you know, a lot of the issues where tribes and environmental groups, we try to build coalitions, there's always some devil in the details that make it difficult to form these coalitions. Not this time. I can send out an action alert statewide on this, and in 10 minutes I have, you know, 24 groups who want to sign on to the next letter.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Eco News Report. I'm Scott Greeson, North Coast Director of Friends of the Eel River, and I'm talking today with Craig Tucker, the Klamath Coordinator for the Karuk Tribe, about suction dredge mining, its impacts on rivers, fish, and other biota, and the efforts to find some new framework to regulate that mining. Craig, you were just discussing the coalition you've been able to put together on this issue. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about the impacts of suction dredge mining on in-stream habitat, on the gravels. And we've talked a bit about the very serious concerns around the liberation of mercury from those gravels and bringing that into the food chain. What are some of the other impacts of suction dredge mining that people have seen across the state that they're concerned about?
Well, there's actually just some basic safety issues. These guys leave behind deep pits in the river. And I often take my family up to the California Salmon River for picnicking and swimming in the summertime. Well, if you're not careful, you can disappear in one of these holes. And so there are places where people are taking their kids swimming. They're used to being in this space. And there may be a 6-foot deep hole in the river that wasn't there last year because a dredge left it behind. So you have those kinds of problems. They are impacting different birds that use riparian areas as their habitat. And this is straight from Fish and Game's own analysis. Songbirds that use riparian zone habitat are being impacted by dredging. However, the department says it's not their job to protect these passerines, as they're called. You have sanitation issues. You know, we, like Kudarook, are famous basket weavers. And so people who do weaving have to go out and gather willows that grow in gravel bars, and they're encountering places where miners have camped and left behind human waste in ways that are totally inappropriate. So there's this whole range of issues. Then me personally, I'm a rafter and a kayaker, and you can go out boating and come around a corner, and people are using steel cables across the river to hold their dredge in place. Well, these are entrapments to people who are trying to boat. So there's this whole range of issues, from the mercury toxic issue to the direct destruction of fish habitat to these conflicts with other user groups who want to go out. And if people go to visit California's wild and scenic rivers to get away from it all, not to encounter a dredge in operation.
I'm glad you raised that issue of the conflict with recreational boaters, because that's something I've heard about directly from people who were actually clotheslined, you know, as they came around a corner, as you describe, and ran into an obstacle they hadn't anticipated that hadn't been there in the past. You know, it was a low, tight line, and they had to basically get under that in a big hurry, and people got hurt. Just one other note is that these operations depend on a power source, which of course means a generator and fuel. So those are...
Yes, you know, I would encourage folks who are interested. You know, we have a great group of sort of guerrilla, and what I call them, guerrilla videographers on the Klamath and Salmon, called the Klamath Salmon Media Collaborative. And we've got a few video shorts showing dredges in action and the gas cans left behind on the riverbank and all these things. If you go to YouTube and search for Klamath Salmon Dredge, you'll find some of these videos that kind of show you what a dredge looks like, what the damage it leaves behind in these deep holes I was describing.
So, Craig, you've been describing the Department of Fish and Game's environmental analysis of the impacts of suction dredge mining and their proposed new rules. As you said, they acknowledge that there's some fairly serious impacts. So what are they going to do about it?
Well, it's interesting. There's a statute in the Fish and Game Code, the government code for California, the Fish and Game section. And in the 60s, the legislature wrote in there that Fish and Game is responsible for regulating dredge mining, and they have to give you a permit to dredge unless they determine that the dredging operation causes deleterious harm to fish.
That seems pretty straightforward, yeah.
Well, I looked up deleterious in the dictionary, and Webster's defines it as harmful, often in a subtle way. So any subtle harm to fish should be banned according to the law. Well, the way Fish and Game gets around this is they, in their regulations, make up a definition for deleterious. And if you read their definition, it essentially means you have to kill an entire year class of a fish to meet this deleterious threshold of harm. So that's one of our significant comments, and we actually went to the state archives and dug up the original floor speeches from the early 60s when these laws were written. And the word deleterious was actually very carefully chosen by lawmakers, and the intent was to be highly protective of fish. And so we're alleging that Fish and Game can't just redefine words in order to make their, you know, laws fit, which is essentially what they're doing.
Well, in fact, when you read what Fish and Game has written in terms of the trigger for action they're looking for, it looks an awful lot like the most serious standard under the Endangered Species Act, both state and federal, that the jeopardy, you know, you've got to basically endanger an entire run.
Exactly. So, you know, only by fabricating and, you know, redefining these words can Fish and Game even hope to promulgate regulations that are, you know, legal. But we will, I mean, I've said many times that if I have to litigate and let a judge tell Fish and Game what the word deleterious means, that's something we may have to do before this is all over.
So, Craig, you've described a lot of the suction dredge mining effort and the potential impacts are coming in places that have seen a history of mining. Rivers that have gold are also rivers that are going to have mercury. Surely those are places that the Department of Fish and Game has looked at and said, okay, we've got a problem here. We're going to control mining in these areas.
Well, they do identify that there's a problem, but they say that it's not their job to protect water quality. Fish and Game says, hey, you know, we're charged with making sure there's not a deleterious effect on fish, and it's somebody else's job to deal with water quality. So they're trying to pass the buck to another agency, and you know, we don't believe that that is consistent with the California Environmental Quality Act. We don't think that Fish and Game can pick and choose which laws they want to obey and which they don't. So these are issues that we're raising as we go through the, you know, the public rulemaking process.
So another angle on this conflict has been the question of the Department of Fish and Game's own budget. You've identified a cost for this overall project of something in the neighborhood of $1.3 million and then pointed out that the state's only collecting something under $400,000 in fees to actually administer the project.
But this was a shocking revelation to me, and this came out when, you know, we started digging deeper in all these issues, and in Fish and Game's own analysis in the environmental impact report, they reveal that, you know, they want to issue 4,000 dredging permits statewide. And under the current fee structure, I think it's $40 if you're in state and maybe $125 for out of state license to dredge. Under the current fee structure, they would generate about $375,000 in revenues. But under the proposed regulations, to administer the program and enforce the regulations and do on-site inspections for some operations, they're spending about $1.8 million. So the difference between what miners are paying and what it's costing is being made up from the state's general fund. So this means that taxpayers are subsidizing a hobby that's destroying our fisheries. It's unbelievable to me when we're laying off teachers, we're laying off firemen, we're cutting, you know, social programs for the elderly, that we're going to subsidize dredge mining. It's I call it socialized mining. It's the craziest thing. So it struck me that it struck a lot of us when we're working together in this coalition that at a time when legislators are being asked to cut programs, hey, here's a perfect program to cut. And so we've been having these discussions with lawmakers, and this week there's a committee on the budget for the Assembly side as well as the State Senate side, a subcommittee that deals with Fish and Game's budget. And both of those subcommittees, the staff are recommended to the committee members that we ban dredge mining until, A, we mitigate all the environmental impacts that are identified in the CEQA analysis, and B, they come up with a fee structure that forces miners to pay their own way. You know, fishermen pay their own way through the cost of fishing licenses. There's no reason miners shouldn't have to pay their own way through the cost of mining permits.
Craig, as I mentioned earlier, you've got a doctorate in biochemistry, and you know, one of the things I note in the dialogue, as we've said, an intense and often bitter dialogue around the question of suction dredging and its impacts on fish and rivers and people, is a kind of culture war overtone. You know, a huge amount of heat. I've heard from folks on the river, a real atmosphere of intimidation and real concerns. And I've seen even in some of the discussion forums online, miners flatly rejecting scientific studies that show these impacts. How do you respond to that kind of intensity and, you know, the rejection of science?
Well, this mentality of, you know, people can only believe in information that fits with their existing worldview is why we have a court system. You know, it's very difficult to sit down with some of these, not all miners, but some miners, and the ones who tend to be the vocal leadership of the mining community. It's very hard to sit down and have a rational discussion because they believe that mining is good for fish. I know it's shocking. I joined the Gold Panning Association of America, which is one of the groups to represent hobby miners and dredgers in addition to panners, because I wanted to see their materials, and they sent me, you know, a membership booklet and a bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker said, dredging makes fish habitat. This is no lie. So they argue that by vacuuming up the bottom of the river, which sometimes is they say, well, the bottom of the river is packed really hard, and so the salmon can't build their reds because the gravels are packed too hard. And so we loosen them up for the salmon and give them a good place to lay their eggs.
So we're just fluffing up the pillows, yeah.
We're fluffing up the pillows. And so there have been some studies to evaluate that hypothesis, and what they find is that the tailings from a dredging operation, when the next winter's flow events happen, that those things get washed away. So if fish are lured into laying their eggs there, those eggs don't get to mature because, you know, those gravels are unstable and wash away when the winter rain events happen. So it's this ridiculous assertion that has no scientific credibility. There's no peer-reviewed science that makes this crazy conclusion, but, you know, they keep repeating it to themselves. And if you go to one of these public meetings, guys get up and say, and they believe it. And I think one reason they believe it is when they dredge, you know, a lot of the macroinvertebrates and bugs that fish do eat get dredged up. And so those bugs that are hiding down in those rocks get spewed through the dredge, and they're floating through the river, and fish do come in and feed downstream of a dredge. But it's like if you went home and opened your refrigerator and took all the food out of your refrigerator, and you eat all you can, but then you leave it all out. Well, you know, you've left all your food out, and it's going to spoil, and now your refrigerator is empty. And so it's a little bit like that. They basically strip the river bottom of all these macroinvertebrates and insects. Fish have a feeding frenzy for that afternoon, but the next day and the next day and the next week and the next month, those bugs are gone. So, you know, I think because these individual miners, when they dredge, they're snorkeling, and they look around and they'd see some fish are hanging out like that. They're like, oh, look, you know, fish love dredges. And I always tell them at meetings, if dredging helped fish habitat, the Karuk tribe would buy 1,000 dredges and operate them around the clock, because we're all about restoring fish, but we're pretty convinced that dredges aren't the solution.
Craig, we're out of time, but I really appreciate your joining us today. Is there any last word you want to get in?
Well, I have a Stop Miners from Sucking Facebook cause. I encourage you to have, you can always get the latest there. You can get the latest from Klamath River Keeper at klamathriver.org. You can get the latest Epic's been doing action alerts on dredge mining, so you can get your information there. But, you know, we do need, when we have these action alerts, we need people to write their, whether it's writing Fishing Game or their legislator, and let them know they're concerned. We need that kind of help from folks out there who want to enjoy clean rivers and healthy fisheries.
Thanks for your time today, Craig.
Hey, thanks a lot, Scott, and I really do appreciate the opportunity to be on. This is very helpful and very timely.
Excellent. Thanks, man. Over now.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
So this has been the Eco News Report. My name's Scott Greeson. I've been your host for the past half hour. My guest today was Craig Tucker, PhD, Klamath Coordinator of the Karuk Tribe. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the Public Affairs page on the KHSU website at khsu.org, where these programs are archived for 2 weeks after they air. Thereafter, the files from recent shows are posted on the North Coast Environmental Center's website at yournec.org. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call KHSU's listener comment line at 826-6089. The Eco News Report is produced for KHSU, located at Humboldt State University, in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. And many thanks to Fred McLaughlin, the indispensable engineer of the Eco News Report. Join us again next Thursday at 1:30, right here on KHSU for the Eco News Report.